Welcome to the Josh Holiday Show. It is the 16th of May, 2010. Are you okay?
Yeah, sorry. I didn't know we'd started yet.
We have started. It's Josh Holiday here, and I got a new microphone and a new stand and a new wire.
It smells
okay,
good.
Don't do that. You're gonna F things up. Leave the mic be. I think, look, you've already...
I didn't do anything
to it.
It's
okay.
It looks great.
All right.
I think one of the elastics is... Oh, I'll reconnect
you
this
have...
little elastic.
See?
That? Oh, there's two, actually, that have...
Have come loose. All right. No wonder your level's bad. All right. I have a new microphone, stand, and a new wire to get into the mixer. And so I brought someone here to basically just to test.
I'm a mic test.
You're the mic test man.
What is the thing that roadies do? It's sibilance.
Sibilance.
Sibilance. Check. Sibilance.
Sibilance. It sounds okay.
Yeah.
So far, but we will wait and see. I know Chris from...
You didn't even introduce me yet.
Chris...
What kind of show host
Chris Mavridis.
Thank you.
A multimedia man.
Magnate, I prefer,
You're a magnate?
Yeah.
Or a maven?
Maven's good, too.
You're a media maven?
Visionary. I like visionary.
I think maven implies that you own a lot of stuff.
It also sounds a little femme,
but
don't you think?
Yeah, maven.
Magnate.
But magnate also implies that you're in like ownership and you own all kinds of media properties.
I'm in ownership of Awesome Town.
Oh.
Yes.
Really?
Yes, it's in receivership.
Do you want me to edit that out so that when people listen they're all like, "Oh my god, this guy?"
No. No. Leave it in. I like being pompous.
All right.
Well, go ahead.
You do it well.
Read from my resume, won't you?
I do not sound good. I do not have one in front of me. I can just go from the tales you have told.
Mm-hmm.
Fighter pilot, firefighter,
uh-huh.
Firefighter pilot.
Puncher of douchebags?
Well, that's a hero status thing. Most recently, I don't know, I'm trying to think, because you're here, you're there, you're everywhere.
I was a media guy in Canada.
If you're in Toronto, you were at CFRB co-hosting the morning show for a while, doing the newsy
co-host
stuff.
Heavy term.
You were the newsman.
News guy, yeah.
You were the official news guy.
I was responsible for 11 minutes of content per hour.
That's a lot of content.
Yeah, that's me.
And you've been working. You work for CBS Radio in the United States of America.
For CBS News and an anchor. Yes, and a writer as well.
And you had a little podcast, didn't you?
I had one of the most successful podcasts at iTunes ever. I was actually, for a while, I was number two to the Ricky Gervais Show. Did you know that?
Well, that's pretty, so you were the number one North American podcast.
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
I don't want to brag.
Worked for Wired Magazine. And,
yeah.
And then a bunch of media stuff here.
Excellent.
And now I'm a bum.
You're writing...
Now I'm a writer.
...stuff here and there.
Mm-hmm. I'm a pilot writer.
I know you from when we both worked at... the legendary Toxics 40,
yeah,
which then became Mojo, which is now
Toxics 40 again.
Toxics
AM 640.
Yeah, but it's like Toronto Talk or
whatever
it is. Neither of us are there anymore. That was a lot of fun because it was up on Norton in the big tower that was.
It was in this
made
we were
of
on
money.
The 14th and 15th floor. This was like the tail end of radio greatness. Because it was AM 640, the AM talk station, and Q107, which anyone in Toronto would know is the classic rock station. And this building was amazing. It was immaculate. It was really cool, high tech, sexy receptionist, grand piano in the front foyer, pictures of everybody.
It
looked really cool.
It was basically the peak of radio excess. Like,
yeah.
Like upstairs, there was a big... Basically a lounge with a pool table and a
big
deck with a barbecue.
Couches. Yeah, yeah.
Leather couches, television. Yeah, a grand piano in the lobby. And it just opulent type radio. And you don't see that much anymore.
No, now it's a cardboard box and, microphone.
Yeah, exactly. It's basically what we're doing here.
Yeah.
Is pretty much parallel to what you'd see in most...
Only we make more money.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. When tax and everything else is figured in, yeah, we're probably making more money doing this than someone on one of those stations.
But that was a lot of fun. That was so cool.
I was working in the creative department doing writing for Q107 and Talk 640. You were in the Talk 640 newsroom, doing stories about the...
We were the radio news beacon of Southern Ontario.
Yes.
Nobody listened to us.
But your main story that summer, that hot summer, was the Monkey Man.
The Monkey Man. Everyone's forgotten about the crazy Monkey Man in India. That was so cool. That was a great story.
I don't know why no one's gone back and revisited that. But it was that summer, it was like everyone was talking about the Monkey Man.
It was wild. And that was during Mojo. That was when the station flipped from sort of milquetoast talk radio to talk radio for guys.
Mojo.
Where it was all, you know, like the day that we switched over, we put pictures of naked chicks all over the newsroom wall, and we were playing golf in the former news director's office after he got canned. And
I remember the newsroom playing, there's a hockey net, and
I bought that hockey net and the two sticks, the mini sticks, and I set them up.
Firing stuff.
And the PD, the program director, thought I was an idiot. And then he started playing.
Yeah.
But I think he just wanted to take shots at me.
And then it was a situation where you didn't have to go up to the studio to do your news report. The studio was on the 15th floor.
Yeah.
14th floor was the newsroom. So you would just pipe in from downstairs.
And imagine this newsroom. It was sandwiched between glass of the building, like looking out onto the city. There was one side where it was glass. It was like etched glass. It looked like a map. And then the other side was, you know, you looked out into the city.
And
the
southern view,
because 14 floors up doesn't sound that high in Toronto, but we were in North York, north of the city, and we were up on a hill.
Yeah.
So we saw everything. It was amazing when a storm was rolling in, whatever. It was just a cool view. I used to...
Sometimes you could see the Empire State Building.
You could, if you squinted, you could see Venezuela.
Occasionally.
It was pretty cool.
On a really sunny day.
It had to be clear.
Yeah. And we would get the telescope out and we could see girls on the beach in Venezuela.
It was awesome. Yeah, I know. It was really cool. It was a little distracting, but I never got my work done. You used to come in there in the newsroom and hump the desk. And
you'd be in the middle of your newscast.
And
it was almost like cubicles. It was fairly open, so there's a desk there. And when you would go on, I would come up beside you and just try and take you off your game by dry humping your desk or whatever.
It wasn't so much the dry humping, it was the faces that you made. That was the best part of it. And you know, you hear all these stories about radio years and years and years ago when the new guy would have his script lit on fire.
Yeah.
We couldn't do that because I was reading off a computer.
Yeah.
So my favorite thing you used to do, two sales guys... John and I just talked to these guys a little while ago, and they would come in, or you and one of those other guys would come in and kind of sandwich me. One guy pressing his butt on one shoulder in the middle of a newscast, the other guy's butt on the other, and count down and fart. And it was quite audible, but I knew what was going on. And so what I would try to do is, as swiftly as possible, turn off my mic, tell them, you know, to go screw themselves, yell at them, and then turn it back on and just keep going wherever I was.
I remember that. You had that ability. And I remember hearing a story about, I don't know if it was Bob Eubanks or one of the baseball guys who would sit in his baseball booth and then he'd be on the radio calling the game and he'd just press the button for a second, check out the boobs on there. and then he'd be right, like he'd have friends and he could just do it like boom, boom, boom without any thought.
Yeah.
The other thing we would do is if you left your computer and you left your news stories up, I would change a word or two or just try and put like, you know, a silly word in there to see if it would catch you or not.
You wouldn't catch me. No, I would see it. But
you were pretty good. Yeah.
And then there was that one time when I was dating that girl who used to model, and she moved out to Vancouver. And so I had one of her little modeling shots on my desk. And you thought it'd be funny if you came over and drew a mustache and beard on it. And I got really mad. I think I kicked you. Didn't I kick you that day?
I think you
were
angry that day.
Yeah, I was pretty mad.
And ironically, where I was out in Calgary, and she ended up marrying the dude from the morning show in Calgary. Yeah, so it all comes around. It's weird.
Yeah. Crash. It's a crash. Roger.
Roger.
Yeah.
Roger Kincaid.
Yeah. Good guy.
In Vancouver, they called him Crash Kincaid.
Yeah.
So now you're back in Toronto. You're back and forth.
Well, I'm back and forth. I split my time. I'm one of these jet-setting guys, you know. I have my posh apartment here, and then I go to New York, my place there, and kick back, do my work. I wear my big frame, dark frame glasses, and my my plaid shirts, my disheveled hair, and I write.
Your tight jeans.
My tight jeans, rolled up once, just so, you know.
Yeah.
Like one of those...
You're a hipster.
One of those hipster douchebags that we see all the time. Yeah, I'm one of those guys.
There's a lot of them.
And I write, carry my Writers Guild of America card in my back pocket just in case I need to flash somebody.
A notepad. You carry a notepad.
Carry a notepad all the time. All the time.
Writing.
Yeah. That's one of those guys goes and writes in a coffee shop.
Yeah.
Looks out the window.
I've done that.
Yeah.
But I look awkward doing it. I don't look hip. It's just like, oh, look at this clown.
If I ever catch myself doing any of that stuff, I'm going to punch myself right in the gents. Right in the gents.
you're pantomiming that right now.
I am. For a fact.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah.
Does the new mic pick it up?
It doesn't make the sound of it up.
Here, there you go. Right in the gents.
There, look at that. That's what it sounded like.
Yeah.
Sounded like just bare skin.
Pantless.
You should be You should be a Foley man.
Look at this. You got boxes.
Okay, don't play around with the boxes.
What are these boxes? What do you got going on? You got no notes. I don't have a cup of coffee here. What kind of host are you? There's this box in front of us. That's like,
that's
imagine
the legend.
This handcrafted, beautiful rosewood rectangular box, hinged box. It should be filled with grandfather's secrets.
It looks like the coffin of a small, like a
silken animal, like a small
animal,
fuzzy, soft.
Yeah, because it's like, how long is it? Like, it's about a foot long and about 4 inches.
It's a mouse casket.
Like a
squirrel casket.
A squirrel casket. Yeah. If you know, it's cherry and opens up and it's like plush inside. But that's what the microphones came in.
Mm, okay.
One for each. I have another one as a matching box for that.
You should keep them out. They're very mysterious. I expect to open them up and hear a creak, and then there's like a warm light that emanates
and
from
magic
them.
Dust?
Yeah, that you find in your grandfather's attic. What's inside, Grandpa?
Grandpa.
Grandpa.
Don't,
what's in here?
Don't ever open the box if you know what's good for you, you little rapscallion.
No. I'm an inquisitive young boy.
He's unleashed the devil.
Yeah. Or his old farts. Grandpa's farting box.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's radio.
Yeah, this is
wacky. Hey, the guy, look at this. He farted. He just farted, this guy. Do you believe it?
I don't believe it for a second.
It's Farty and Terry in the morning.
Where did that radio voice come from? Everyone's I did it. Where's that radio voice come from?
Like the classic, like, cheesy radio
voice? 77 degrees, sunshine in the city. Good afternoon, everybody.
Because you can still hear old broadcasts where people have that affect. That radio voice.
Well, there's a chronology to it, because if you listen like 30s, 40s, 50s, it's like everybody's talking like this. See,
yeah.
And then into the 60s.
Stop clipping the.
Oh, I like clicking it. Look, you didn't even give me something to play with, a Rubik's cube, something. And then you get the 60s where they try to be a little more, you know, you get that Cousin Brucey sound, and then it goes into, yeah, and then it gets a little cartoonish, and then in the 70s they try to be a little more cool.
Well, the FM,
and then,
yeah, the 70s
and then
FM
that,
was
I guess
like,
that's where it came, the, before
FM.
It came in. Where there's that FM sound, and then there's the 80s, you know, CFTR.
Coming right out of you, Tarzan Dan. We got a lot of hits coming up for you right now. Backstreet Boys, here it is. That's CFTR.
I want to spend a week just talking like that. Wherever the hell I am.
But I noticed the funny thing is, as things changed and people started speaking more normally without the affect, it seemed like the further out of the big cities you would go to the small towns and stuff, they still held on to that because it's like, oh, that's what radio has to be. Hey, 20 past the hour, we got your weather coming up in just a sec. Here's Susan. Susan, come on in here. Let's have a chat. That type of radio. But the thing is, I think...
Let's talk about some topics.
To a certain degree... Top 40 radio right now still has that cheese factor, like AC, you know, it's like, coming up on Chum FM, we got a lot of stuff coming up for you. This afternoon, we're going to check in with, and I think Virgin does it a little bit too, mm-hmm. Virgin Radio, hey, it's whoever I am, blah, 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 here's the latest from Nelly Furtado, blah, blah, blah. It's very kind of affected. I don't know if audiences have an expectation for that, or if it's just... That's what radio programmers put out and assume that people enjoy it. But I always appreciate hearing someone who speaks in a fairly a voice similar to their own off air voice. I always say to people, they say, "Well, you know, you would do a radio voice, or what do you want to do?" I say, "Just it's you talking, but
There's a little showbiz to it.
Yeah, there's a little showbiz to it. Think of it like you're talking to one person, but you're telling them a really great story. The energy of telling them something really interesting. So because I remember I did the first radio I did was college radio, way back. And I would listen to the tapes a few years later once I went to school and stuff, and I'd be like, man, I missed such an opportunity there, because I was just like, hey, it's CJM 98.1, it's 9:21. We're going to play some, it was just like no energy to it. It was literally just me kind of talking, you know, just to a guy across here. We're going to talk to this guy, and that was Sarah McLachlan, Vox. This is CJM 98.1. But yeah, I think the happy medium is using your own voice, not putting something on, but also having a dynamic to it and make it bold.
Yeah, I hear that. And you know what it is if you don't give it some extra juice, you don't stand out.
No.
Like, even if in real life you're incredibly animated and you speak in that animated fashion on camera and on mic, you still need to pump it up a little bit, because the mic is going to steal something from you, and it's going to flatten you out. We were talking about, of all people, Ryan Seacrest earlier this afternoon, and how it was him and that other guy who no one remembers.
Dunkelman.
On the first season. And if you watch back, here's a guy, Ryan Seacrest, who had done Top 40 Radio, I think in L.A. at that point, right? Yeah. So he was a big deal in radio. But because he was kind of nervous doing the show, he'd never done television before, he was sort of a little muted. And if you compare that season to, I don't know which one they're in now, I don't watch the show.
No.
But he almost looks like a caricature of himself, but people have, unless you go back and watch it, you're seeing something that to you is normal.
Yeah, although he does seem a little over the top. Like,
well, he is, yeah.
American Idol.
It's American Idol.
Yeah, it's just like a little bit of the cheese, but
right in the gents. Right in the gents.
Yeah, Ryan Seacrest. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Mm. I always like the newscasters who would be like, who would kind of go up the innocence. Here in London, what's happening here is the Prime Minister is going to speak. He's you've heard newscasters where it's sort of got that newscasting intonation.
Yeah, Katie Couric is like the number one person for that.
Yeah, this is what's happening now.
Where
we're going to go to the thing and the story.
Yeah, where they feel that you have to almost finish a sentence on a down note or something. Where or if you do, oh man, what was it? Like, give me a line, give me something to read. It's like you know,
I don't have any news stories printed out.
It usually it has to be a pun too. I can't think of one off the top of my head, but you know, it'll be something like why the president wants this. There has to be a bit of a pause in
yeah,
there.
Why the president?
Like, people really, A, talk like that. B, accept that sort of talk. I don't get it. I hate it. I can't stand it. I catch myself doing it. Guess where this fist is going? Right to the gents.
Chris.
By the way, I'm trying a new catchphrase out. It's right, called to, the right gents? To the gents.
Every time you say that, you get it goes red here.
Awesome.
Red.
Is it because I'm yelling like Regis?
Yes.
I like to yell. I'm Greek.
I have to get a limiter.
I know. Or something.
Is Regis Philbin? Is he Greek?
No, he's just
loud. What's Philbin?
Is he Jewish? I don't think he's Jewish.
I don't know what he is. Philbin.
Is Notre Dame a Catholic school? Because that's who he's always cheering for. He's always babbling about Notre Dame.
Maybe just a super white guy. I don't know.
Yeah, he might be. I don't know. Very animated. There's another guy.
Very old school.
Very old school. But he's the kind of guy, song and dance show at Casino Rama. He's great.
That's the thing. He's sort of like a classic kind of like just peppy entertainer guy. He's always like boom, 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 boom.
Well, who are the news guys that you like, going back to that? Because you said that news people have that sort of intonation.
Talking
who
like
are the news
this.
People you want to listen to?
Who do I like to listen to? Give
not
the
even
news.
Listen, not even listen. Watch. I don't care. It could be CNN. It could be whatever.
Jon Stewart.
Yeah, I know. Although you know, I used to be a huge, huge, huge Jon Stewart fan, but I think I'm kind of sick of him now. I have been for a while. Well, first of all, I mean, when soccer moms start watching him, it's like uncool.
It's like when someone discovers your favorite band that you can't listen
yeah,
to them anymore.
Exactly. Same thing.
Oh, that was my band.
That was about 7 years ago.
I discovered New Order.
But he's getting a little preachy now, don't you think?
Yeah, to a certain degree. But I think that the editorializing has always sort of been there.
No, the editorializing has always been there. You can't have comedy without editorializing or without throwing in some sort of opinion.
But
I'm wondering if it's become a little too... I mean, the thing I don't like about what Jon Stewart does, and listen, they are geniuses there. They're incredibly bright. And the comedy is still very good. But I don't like when they tell news people what they should be doing, or when they criticize CNN for trying to do something a little... Listen, CNN is not... It's not Nickelodeon, and it's not, you know, Comedy Central. It's not pure entertainment, but they still want to get ratings, and they're still a TV network, and they don't have to be some old guy with glasses reading the newspaper. So they try to do something a little different, and Stewart will grab it up and make fun of it and beat it up. And I think what that does is it totally stymies any sort of creativity in news, because that's really lacking right now.
Yeah.
You're up against guys like Jon Stewart in the news business. You better, you know, up your game, or you're going
to
lose.
But I think probably he goes after CNN because he has to find the balance, because Fox is a really easy target too. Not so much for trying to be different or edgy, but just for being
what they are,
full of shit.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of news people who I actually enjoy.
Do you even watch the news?
Televised news? I'm a more, like, I'm old school. I'm kind of an internet newspaper. A newspaper guy.
You're an old school guy who reads the internet.
No, okay. No. But old school in terms of I like to read the news rather than, okay, than have it presented.
All right.
Nowadays I read the daily paper, and then also, you know, throughout the day or whatever.
Salon.
Go online. Salon and some of the more, like, Gawker. And
very old school.
Wow. Really incredibly old school. Remember the 1800s when Gawker first? Yeah, it was a gas powered news engine. they would have little. They would put Bristol board up, and people would pass it around. It was at the time. It was very modern.
It was very community.
yes. Ah, the media.
You were going to interview me or something. Ask me about what I'm doing.
Yeah, what are you doing?
Nothing.
Right. Wow, that's a great interview. Can't you make something up?
I'm writing some stuff. I'm like a guy who gets to write pilots, which is kind of interesting. I've done a couple of them already.
And have they answered back?
Yes, sometimes.
Which airlines?
You're so droll.
You spend your time writing pilots? No.
Yeah, no. That's funny.
No.
Stupid. A television pilot is the first episode, the premiere episode, and it's called a pilot.
Is that what?
Yeah, that's what it is.
And there's a pilot season?
Yeah.
That's when they grow season. The pilots.
Yeah. So I've been doing some of that stuff, and
You're a renaissance man. You're a man about town. You do
I'm
your
man
thing.
About town. It's funny because years ago it used to be you'd tell people you're a writer and everyone would think you're an intellectual who wears, you know, fuzzy sweaters or those tweed jackets with the patches and smokes a pipe. Now you tell people you're, you know, I bumped into some reporter friends of mine, you know, just happened to be at a crime scene down the street from my house. I had nothing to do with it. and the guy's like, oh, so, you know, because he'd heard that I was on the radio a few months ago when I moved back up here. And so oh, what are you doing now? Oh, I'm writing. And this was the response. Oh, well, that's okay. No, douchebag. It's good. What do you want? It's like I'm writing, you know, I don't know, greeting cards or 30-second commercials for a radio station no one listens to.
But I think at the same, I think at the same time.
Did you get the dig?
No.
I said writing 30-second commercials for a radio station no one listens to.
640?
Yeah.
Oh. Well, kidding. Q people, like, listen, if you listen to Q.
Yeah. You did a great job.
Oh, thanks, man. What was I going to say? I think part of it is that there's a lot of people who, you know, walk around. They
pretend to be a writer.
Like,
yeah.
I'm a writer. What do you? Oh, really? What do you write? Oh, poetry.
Yeah, exactly.
Which I mean,
come
I
here.
Guess
let me meet your gents.
Yeah. You're back and forth between here and New York. What? And weren't you doing some political thing, or you're sampling a little political stuff? Obama or some deal to do?
I don't know what you're talking about.
All right. Yeah. You were. In New York.
Writing and playing hockey.
Yeah. Oh, that's what we should talk about. We just went out shopping for hockey stuff today.
Yeah.
With my sister's boyfriend.
Yeah. Nice guy. Hands like pork chops. I seriously never seen bigger hands. And he's not a big dude. Like, he's my height.
He's
like 5'10".
Giant hands.
Huge hands.
Which
it's like a T-bone. And hands like bananas.
A T-bone steak at the end of a wrist.
Yeah. I've never seen anything big. It was like a crepe. It was huge.
But it wasn't as floppy as a crate.
No, it was thick. It was like a like a hardback book, a big one, yeah. Like a coffee table book with fingers. It was huge, gigantic. And he's like, "You should see my feet." I'm thinking, yeah, make me feel worse about myself.
There you go.
Yeah, we went shopping for hockey gear because we're all hockey fanatics.
You know what I got today?
Yeah, you got
my hockey gear. I got today.
Yeah, what'd you get?
Some skate laces.
Yeah,
blue ones.
Yeah. I went because I keep all my gear. I'm tired of moving it back and forth anytime I go, like, you know, because it got to the point where I was going between here and the States every few weeks. And I just got sick and tired of lugging it. So I left all my gear in storage in New York and decided to buy new stuff here. And what did I walk away with? Do you remember what I got? I got a $2 stick handling ball.
Yeah,
like a little fuzzy ball. Oh, and I got some socks.
Yes, you got the fancy new socks. They're like nylons.
Yeah, they are. They're very sexy, very sensual. They have the seam up the back.
What team color was that?
I
didn't even recognize the colors.
They have a Cuban heel. Don't ask me why. but it's Buffalo.
That's Buffalo?
That's Buffalo. It's my other home team, Buffalo.
Oh, all right.
Yeah. The Rangers. I'm not huge, huge fan of the Islanders. And
that's weird. Why do you live...
Hate
sometimes
the Rangers
in New York. Are you, what about the Leafs?
I love the Leafs.
Okay.
I grew up a Leaf fan.
Yeah,
when I was two, I had my dad went and spent the family's rent money on a Daryl Sittler jersey.
I thought you were going to say, when I was just a kid, my dad used to beat me with a hockey stick that was signed by Daryl Sittler.
No, never did that.
No.
I remember I had to go. It was my first visit to the dentist.
Yeah.
And I was afraid of going to the dentist. So my dad made me a barter and my mom made me a separate one. And they didn't know that they were, you know, that they'd each made me a deal.
Yeah.
So I conspired to screw them both out of cash and goodness. and so my dad said, if you're good, I'll get you a Leaf sweater. My mom said, if you're good, I'll take you to the fire station and put you on the truck. Both of these are pretty. I'm asking for a lot here.
So did you get both?
So I did everything I needed to do. Didn't say anything at the dentist. I was fine. And then my dad got me the sweater. And back then it was before they had the names on them, so yeah. It was just 27. It was an away sweater with the captaincy on it, and it's tiny, but it's odd. And it was like the real, like, what is it, twill? What's it called?
Yeah, yeah.
It was like a real sweater. It was cool. And he got it from Maple Leaf Gardens. Like, he parked his car up on the sidewalk and ran in just before closing time, and it was the last one they had, and he grabbed it. And then my mom was like, all right, I promised this, stuck my sister in the stroller and walked me to the corner fire station. And, you know, because she was a fiery, you know, big talking chick, she was like, can I put my son up on the truck? They pulled the truck out, they gave me the hat,
really?
And the boots. Yeah, so she sat there with her little Polaroid taking like 15 pictures. It was great. Now I show them to girls and they're like, oh, you're so cute. And then I say stuff like, yeah, our child will look like that. And then they melt and then I take their money.
That's good work. Every time I think of Fireman now, I always think of Rescue Me. It's such a good show.
It's a great show. Great show. And I played hockey with Dennis Leary once.
He's like a hockey buff.
Huge.
That's part of the reason they incorporated
it. It's a little gay that you use the word buff to describe him.
I didn't say he's buff.
I
said
he's a
That's
how I heard
buff.
It.
Yeah. Dennis Leary. Oh, yeah. He's buff.
He's buff. Oh, he's so buff.
I said he's a hockey enthusiast.
Sure.
All right. He's a hockey fan.
Huge hockey fan.
Yeah, he loves it.
He bought, what was that movie that he did? Operation Dumbo Drop or something like that. It was the stupidest movie ever. But the only reason why he did it, and the whole time while he was doing it, all he was thinking was, beautiful estate. North of the city. Beautiful estate, north of the city. Beautiful estate. And that's what he did. He got a gorgeous sprawling spread somewhere north of the city. And
of New York City?
Yes.
Because I know he's like a Boston boy, but...
No, he lives in New York.
Yeah.
Or he lives just north of New York or whatever. And then he had the option, do I put up in horse stables or do I put in a rink? And so I put in a rink.
Nice.
And as soon as it gets... I think it's refrigerated, too. Like, I think he's actually got chillers.
Yeah, yeah.
But as soon as it gets cold enough, he calls the volunteer fire department in and has a deal with them. And he's big with these fire guys.
Yeah, yeah.
Does a lot of charity work for them. And they come in and they hose down the rink and then they play.
Nice.
And it's really cool because I've never been there. I don't know. But he gets all these former Bruins to come in and play hockey with him, and he's really tight with Phil Esposito and
Cam Neely.
Cam Neely, yeah. So and all the fire department guys. Actually, that's
Neely is plays a role in the hockey team in Rescue Me.
Neely?
I think it's Neely, Cam Neely. He's like the bully guy, kind of, or the guy who always gets carried away on the rink.
Was that Cam Neely?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
The cop? No, that guy was a little guy. I don't think that's Cam Neely.
There's one guy on their team who on the Rescue Me team. Yeah. That's
the guy that they call into the second season. And I forget what his name is, but he's like the guy who plays without pads because pads and helmets are for pussies.
Yeah.
I didn't know that was Cam. I don't think that's Cam Neely
on their team. Yeah, it is.
Really?
All IMDb in a little bit.
Yeah, look it up. But I know Phil Esposito plays the role of a captain, I think.
Yes. Yeah. He's not,
and he's actually good.
Yeah, it's surprisingly good.
Yeah,
that's the show is brilliant. There's a lot of shows like that where, well, in this show, I came to it late. I remember hearing everyone talk about it, including you talked about it a lot.
Yeah.
And then last, it would have been maybe two Christmases ago, I got the DVD for Christmas because I sort of, you know, basically it's one of those gifts where it's like, can you buy me this for Christmas? Yes. And I watched it, you know, pretty much in a few days. I watched the first season and then. You know, it already been up to, I think, season four, so it was great because I could kind of, you know, within a few months, just boom, 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 watch episode after episode. But
yeah,
such a well-written show, and so
excellent.
It's a brilliant show.
And the last season, which I just accidentally erased off my TiVo at home, was absolutely brilliant because they started incorporating music. They were doing musical episodes, which were, like, brilliant, phenomenal, so smart, and funny. It was just, they took it to the next level. I didn't think they were capable of doing it, and they did it.
Yeah.
And just when your interest is starting to wane a little bit, they do something like that. They're geniuses.
Well, it just pushes the limit of the, you know, of the format. It's like, okay, let's do something completely
Well, they
different.
Have this hour, and FX basically lets them do whatever the hell they want to do. They can swear a little bit. Peter Tolan is a proven genius. He's the co-writer on the show.
Yeah.
Larry
Sanders' show is sort of his
Yeah, and he did the Golden Girls as well.
Yeah.
So, you know, he's got some experience.
Yeah.
And it's phenomenal. And there's a Canadian on the show too. What's her name? From ENG. His wife.
On the show?
Yeah.
I don't know if she's Canadian, really.
Yeah, what's her name?
I can't remember the actress's name.
Yeah.
I know exactly who you're talking about.
Sort of Irish sounding last name. But she was
O'Malley?
She
was O'Toole?
Mulroney, O'Toole, something.
O'Leary?
Yeah.
Something
like that. She she was the, remember ENG?
Yeah, yeah.
ENG TV. She was, I think she was in the last couple of seasons. She was one of the cameraman's girlfriends or something. She was like a, I don't know, an artist or something. Eye candy.
Yeah.
Cool show, though.
ENG.
Yeah.
Which ENG is a cool show, Rescue Me?
ENG wasn't a bad show.
I guess
Rescue Me is very cool, though.
For its time.
Big, huge fan.
What are you watching now? Are you watching anything now, Eli?
I like Breaking Bad.
Yeah. With the dude from Malcolm in the Middle?
Yeah.
The father?
He's really good.
Bryan Cranston.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's well, I've just seen the one episode of Breaking Bad just a little bit because I was like, oh, I got to see what he's like in that kind of role. And it's pretty amazing. But I didn't keep with the series, but it might be one of those.
No, it's excellent. It's something everybody should watch. It's a really good show. You know, now that everyone's kind of discovering Mad Men, I'm kind of sick and tired of hearing about it.
I was in early on that one.
But so was I, yeah. And they did a huge, huge marketing campaign in New York. And the image from the opening credits, it's kind of like a...
Yeah,
like
where everything's falling, whatever.
Yeah, yeah, but the sort of image of the guy, like a 60s sort of silhouette.
Yeah.
I don't know that anyone's picked up on this yet, but I know this because my dad used to have a dry cleaners, and all the hangers and the dry cleaning signs, the stuff that they've bought for years and years and years and just haven't changed, that was the inspiration for it. So that's what caught my eye immediately, because you'd see these bus ads, and it would just, all it said was Mad Men, and then it wasn't even a tagline, nothing. It was just AMC and then the date that it launched. And I was intrigued by that because, I mean, this is an image that I recognize from my childhood. Really cool show, beautifully written, but what the hell is it about? I've watched all the seasons so far, and each one is... I was talking to a friend of mine, and we were discussing this one particular episode. He's like, yeah, what was that episode about? I said, I don't know. I think his wife bought a dress. And that's it. That's all that happens. There's a lot of mystery, and there's a strange tone in the whole thing.
The one thing that I found frustrating... is when they got away for I don't, it was almost a whole season where they got away from the actual agency itself. So much of it took place outside the agency.
The backstory
stuff. I really do like the politics of what goes on in the agency and sort of directly related to it, but it seemed to go off and like just, you know, discover what his you know, the whole father thing and that whole thing. But if you're going to watch one show in high definition, that's such a beautiful show to watch.
It's really nicely done, yeah.
I think they're bringing it back in the summer. It's one of those shows where it's on a different... And same thing with Rescue Me. I think they're on different cycles.
Yeah, they were all kind of... A lot of these cable networks now are running their key shows in off periods. Rescue Me was one of them.
That makes sense.
It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, Mad Men, even... what's it called? The one that I just mentioned,
Breaking Bad.
Breaking Bad is on right now in the States. I don't know. Does it air here?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. You know, shows like that, and they're brilliant. They're excellent. I watch a lot of British television right now just because I had to.
Yeah, like but I, Benny I, Hill and that, I got, that type
yeah,
of thing.
A lot of Benny Hill. A lot of the old guy who gets tapped on the head.
Yeah.
We were just watching Benny Hill.
Coronation Street.
The French version of Benny Hill, the Just for Laughs show.
Yes.
No, but shows like The Inbetweeners on the BBC and even, what's his name?
Ricky Gervais.
Sure, him too. He was the competition. I don't like him. I think he's a genius. And the guy's so smart, Ricky Gervais.
Yeah.
Gordon Ramsay. The chef?
The chef dude, yeah.
Who's brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
I'm addicted to there's two shows they have here. There's the Hell's Kitchen, which where they throw a bunch of wannabe chefs together. And
but they've all been like Foxified in America.
Of course.
Americanized.
Yeah.
And it really draws away from the actual, like the show itself.
The one I like is the one that's cycling right now is Kitchen Nightmares, which is more about him, but he goes into a restaurant that's struggling or whatever and turns it around. Although it's almost like there's a template for each episode. It's like, okay, early on he tastes the food is terrible, yells at the chef, they don't get along, and then the meal, he pushes them to the point where they break, and then everyone comes together and hugs and stuff. There's a makeover.
Yeah.
Then there's a little bit of once the change is made, there's a little bit of a trouble. Once the change is made in the restaurant, they've got the new menu and everything's working well. But when they do the first service, there's problems. But then it turns out okay.
And then at the end,
he's like, oh, we did success. So it's almost every week it's the same thing. Although they did an episode where they revisited ones from last year. And that was kind of cool to see if people had kind of reverted or gone back. And there was one that had gone out of business that he had tried to help, and they just it didn't work. But he's definitely an interesting guy to watch for sure.
The British version is even better because they don't do that sort of Inside Edition, you know that kind of cheesy Fox voice, and it's like, you know, this is whatever the hell the restaurant is. You know, they have problems, and then it's a clip of the guy with a handlebar mustache. I know how to run a restaurant.
Will this be the episode where Chef Ramsay finally
stabs someone?
But they say that every week. It's like, this is the most shocking episode yet.
Yeah.
I should be the voice guy. The most shocking episode of the Josh Holiday show ever. Will Chef Ramsay, will he walk out? Will he get along? And look at this guy. He's going to punch somebody.
It's a recipe for disaster.
Oh, the puns.
See? Yeah. There's the pun and the pause. Pun and pause.
Things are heating up, and then they show a big explosion of, like, someone oil catches fire in the kitchen.
Yeah, exactly. But I hate that. The BBC version is actually pretty smart. And listen, I'm not the kind of guy who sits there and watches. I'm not an Anglophile. I don't have Princess Diana collectible plates in my house. I don't care for that kind of stuff. I think the Queen should die.
That's not very nice.
Whatever. Okay. You don't know anything about her. Who is she?
I don't. She seems like a lovely woman.
Whatever. Anyway, my point is that they just do something that's a lot smarter and a lot cleaner, and it looks cool, and it's shot beautifully, and it's a really nice show. It's nicely done. I love it. I think it's great. I also like that Gordon Ramsay's the only guy who can sit there and call somebody a fucking wanker and do it with a sort of half smile. And the guy who's being called that, like, oh, yeah, I am. It's amazing. If I walked out on the street and called somebody an asshole, I'd get punched. Where?
Right in the
gents.
Yep.
Why isn't it catching on?
I don't know.
It's like it in the fridge. Years ago, a friend of mine and I, about 15 years ago, a friend of mine and I tried to start Stick It in the Fridge.
And look where it is now.
Yeah, I know.
It's a huge catchphrase.
Are you mocking me?
No. But there's got to be, like, maybe... there's the one comedian. Have you ever seen the dude? Black comedian. He's on Def Jam a lot. But at the end of every joke, he's like, hamburger! I'm serious. Just like it doesn't... It has nothing to do with the joke. He didn't make a joke about hamburger, but between jokes, he's like, hamburger!
Like that. That's cool. Yeah,
it's pretty funny. It's pretty funny. Just back to Mad Men for a while.
Yeah.
Not just the show was brilliant, but the viral campaign they had last season was brilliant. Like the Mad Men Me, where they had the website set up, and you could go on there and pick a face, and pick style of eyebrows, style of mouth. Basically, make a madman character that looks like you, basically.
Get out of here.
Yeah.
I have sex with women, so I didn't go on the internet to find that. But no. That sounds genius. Yeah, that sounds really cool.
It was, and for a while, you know, on Facebook, every second person, like tons of people had their icons were madmanized versions of themselves, and it's just an amazing way of drawing attention to the show. And it was right before the premiere, maybe a month leading up to the premiere. So
I gotta tell you, that turns me off so much when people glom onto something and put it on Facebook. And I always want to feel like I've discovered something. I think everybody does.
Yeah.
And when it gets out there and everybody's talking about it,
if you can be the first one, you should be the first one to discover it and put it up there, and then. As soon as you see one or two other people, then just take it down. You were there.
Yeah, I guess so.
There and gone. You moved on to the next one.
That's why I never watched Lost when it first came out, because everyone was buzzing about it. But I just started watching a little while ago. I plowed through 3 seasons in about a week.
And
it's amazing.
And it just ended, though.
Isn't it next week?
Maybe it is. I don't. Yeah. But
I don't know. Don't tell, because I've only watched up to season 3.
I don't know anything. But people are just saying it's really disappointing because they don't really wrap anything up. Like, there's a lot of loose ends left. Like, they made all this mystery and stuff coming, you know, over the seasons. They haven't been able to bring it back together and tie everything in.
For a second, you sounded like Thurston Howell III there when you said mystery. Loves. Set up a lot of mystery.
Lovely.
Mystery there.
I lost it. I didn't watch. And then I was like, there's a few shows like that where I'm like, well, once I miss the first episode or two, then I'll have to just wait for DVD. And then... by the time the DVDs come out, then I'm like already onto something new and I just don't have the time. But there's some shows where I will, you know, catch up, like Freaks and Geeks. That's one where I came to it late. Like, I always heard about it.
Me too.
And then got the box set, and it's only one season. So that was
18
easy.
Episodes, isn't it?
Yeah. It's really, really easy to get through.
Yeah.
Have you been watching? Cause another show I hear a ton of people like smart people, you know, comedians and writers and stuff talk about is Friday Night Lights. And
no.
I always sort of wrote it off as like
me
when
too.
I first heard about Friday Night Lights, it's got to be another one of those like
rah rah America,
you know, Dawson's Creek-y kind of like, oh, Friday Night, look, it's a high school. But the only thing I hear about it is that it's a brilliant, brilliant show. And so now I'm kind of like, well, maybe I should go and watch it.
I don't know. I'm not a huge fan of the guy from Wings. And
is that who it's Steven Weber or the other guy?
Steven Weber? No, it's the guy from Early Edition. Remember that show? I thought that was actually a cool show. Early Edition was a show on CBS that ran on Saturday nights, so it was for like old ladies.
Yeah.
And the premise was this guy starts getting his neighbor dies. His neighbor's this old typeset guy, I think, or whatever the hell they call him. He basically set up front pages at the Chicago newspaper. That I think it was the Sun Times or something. And he had this cat. And he dies one day, they cart away his body, and the next morning, a paper shows up at this guy's door, and the cat's sitting on it, his cat. So he brings the cat inside, he looks at it, says, what the hell is this paper? It's essentially, he gets the paper a day earlier.
Oh, okay.
So he can predict what's about to happen, and he takes it upon himself to stop something major, a major catastrophe,
So it's like Flash 4. Although I haven't really watched Flash Forward.
No, not really. It's like, I don't know.
So
Was there another show like that?
He uses it for good.
He uses it for good. And every once in a while, he would go and bet on the races just to have enough money to...
do good things.
And then he had his buddy, the guy who was married to Michelle Pfeiffer for a while. Big, big head, tiny neck.
30-something?
Was that him? I don't know.
I don't know. Okay.
Peterson? I forget.
Yeah, that's that's. I think that's the dude.
That guy?
Peter Horton?
No, not him.
Oh.
No. Another guy. Real pencil neck. Real pea neck. It's like a it's like a single strand of spaghetti. And a gigantic pumpkin giant head. Yeah. Anyway, he's the buddy, so he's always trying to convince his pal to, you know,
give him stock advice.
He's a stockbroker.
Come on.
Yeah.
That's a show where that I remember watching, and I remember thinking, I'm probably too young. Like, people would look at me and think I'm an oddball, but when 30-something was on, I think I actually caught it in reruns, but I remember watching that show, and that was the first show that I thought, as a drama, was really, really brilliantly written. And,
yeah.
And they also did some early kind of, you know, broke some boundaries and did interesting kind of transitions where it didn't, like, fade to black. It was like the camera would cut across, and then somehow you'd end up in a different room and in a different scene. And the writing was just really, really well done. And I even remember buying a book that I think had the scripts in it, and then stories about the scripts and stuff as well. Just was one of those shows that I thought when I was young, I was like, this is the show that you know, you want to write for, you want to do something for. It's just a really brilliant show. And now, years and years later, I don't think it's taken a long time, but I believe they're starting to filter out on DVD now, which is nice.
Are they in reruns anywhere? I've never seen it.
I don't know.
I was always turned off by the name. Because
it was the subject of a lot of jokes. It's like, oh, look at these yuppies and their troubles.
That's exactly what it is. It sounded like a bunch of yuppies.
And that, again, it's one of those things where, yeah, you might write it off is that. But if you actually watch it, I was watching it, you know, in my teens. And as a teenager, you know, I just enjoyed it. I enjoyed the acting and just sort of the way they did things. The whole show was sort of really well put together. And Timothy Busfield, he's a lot, always fun to watch. The redhead dude.
Yeah, that guy. What is he doing now?
He always pops up and stuff.
Yeah.
He
was a waiter on Entourage a couple of years ago.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And then one of the guys does a lot of directing. I think Ken Olin is.
Yeah.
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 He's I liked him in that. He was really good in that as well. But.
Weren't we going to talk about hockey a few minutes ago?
Yeah. From 30-something to hockey.
Did you see the Philly game?
I did.
Who are you rooting for?
In that game? See, there's some games where I really doesn't matter. I just like the hockey's good. Montreal, because it's a Canadian team, I'm kind of following them. If it was Ottawa, I might have more trouble because the rivalry has been more about Toronto-Ottawa.
Are you one of those guys, though? Because I, as much as I love the Leafs and my blood is blue... Well, which the doctor says he can fix.
No.
Hey. I don't care about the Habs. And it, you know, if Ottawa made it in, when they were in the finals a few years ago, I was rooting for Ottawa.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't hate Ottawa. If they're playing the Leafs, I hate them.
Yeah, that's true, too. I don't care. This season, actually, I was watching Ottawa, and I like, because somebody, I like the way they play. Like, I like, and I was hoping the Leafs would get him last year when he was a free agent, but Ottawa re-signed him, Chris Neal, because he's such a, like, a, he's goes out there and just stirs it up. Like, he's a super
gnat. Yeah.
Yeah, he's a super pest. If you have him on your team, he's like the greatest guy ever. But if you're playing against him, like, go get that bastard. He's just like a really high energy, entertaining guy. He's score. He's like the kind of player that Brian Burke wants on his team. And I was so hoping that he would get to free agency and they could pick him up. But there'll be other ways around. And then Volchenkov was a monster blocking shots in when Ottawa played. So it's a team that was fun to watch, and I was kind of hoping that they would move forward, but they didn't. But no, I'm not one of those guys where it's like, oh, screw that, I hate those bastards.
See, the only team I really think that way about are the Rangers. I hate the Rangers because I hate the Ranger fans.
Yeah,
I've watched a couple of games at Madison Square Garden, and there were decent seats, and there were. Given to me by a guy at CBS who had season tickets and couldn't go. And I went with a pal of mine who was kind of quiet. And we watched the game, and we were right at the top of, I don't know what the sections are called there, but it's essentially a second section. And behind us are where all the New York City garbage men, big tough guys, sit. And they'll sit there for an entire 60 minutes of hockey, screaming as loud as they can at the referee. And they're just a bunch of idiots. Saying nothing questioning guys' heterosexuality or whatever the hell it is. And it's just a bunch of really loud douchebags. I hate these guys so much. I can't watch the Rangers because of them. Also, I think their uniforms are a little gay.
I like the Rangers.
I played hockey with a guy for a little while. It was a buddy of mine. I kind of lost touch. But anytime he would score a goal against the team that I was playing on, or if we were just taking shots on each other, or just, you know, playing D, doing like little defensive whatever, he would sing that horrible Rangers goal song.
Which one is it now? Is it like the
it's the one that I think the Rangers are the only guys that use it.
Yeah, I know. It's like whoa.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah,
I hate it. I can't stand
it. I like
it.
The Boston one.
So the Boston one is the same one the Leafs use.
No, the Boston one has is kind of, it's the
you're thinking of the Chicago one.
No, Boston. It's like an Irish. What the hell's the band? It's like
no, man. Boston uses the song, the same song the Leafs do. Look it up.
What song?
What's it called?
Boston uses the bagpipey one. Dun, 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 dun,
dun, dun, dun. No, that's the
something McKenzie, the
no,
what the hell's the name of the Dropkick Murphys?
Yeah, I've actually hung out with them before. Thank you. Dropkick Murphys.
That's Boston.
That's not Boston's
totally
song.
Like Boston
plays that song.
Yeah.
But that's not their goal song.
I think lately it's
not their goal song. Even yesterday it wasn't their goal song. Their goal song is that techno song that the Leafs use, that they use in soccer games in England.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Look it up.
All right. I'm looking now.
Washington uses it as well. Only they put a siren sound in it.
Woo, woo, yeah. Woo. Oh, look at my internet is all musty.
And I think LA uses it.
All right. I'll have to get back to you on that.
Chicago's got a good song. Yeah, I'm horrible with names. We were talking about Recall before. I suck with names. But Chicago's got a good song that...
Well, maybe they play that electronic thing at the beginning and then turn it in. Because I remember after goals...
You're digging a deeper grave.
They're going crazy.
A deeper grave.
All right.
It's deeper grave.
I'm going to put it on the website if it's different.
You do it with a picture of me
yeah.
eating my own poo.
All right. Well, you're going to have to shoot that either way because I won't be able to... You know, I'll just have to put it on the website, get ready, right?
All right.
So you'll do it either way, but I'll post it if you lose.
Thanks. I'll make a nice big one for you.
if you win, then I won't post it, but...
Yeah.
So you'll be okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So who do you think is going to win the cup? I hate this question. I hate it when people ask me this question. I really don't care right now.
I think it's interesting that two of the last place teams in the East are playing each other to go to the final.
Yeah.
Philadelphia got in...
They were eighth. I like Philly because they beat the Rangers.
Yeah, one game they if they lost the game, the Rangers would have been in. If they won the game, they're in.
Yeah,
they got in. Then Montreal was not a lot better. They were
seventh, and they were 1 point up, I think.
Yeah, they were hanging in there. Now all the teams that were ahead of them are out, including if I was a poolie, I would have lost in a huge way, because I had. Washington pegged
to
go all the way through. I was like, oh, they're on fire. They watched President's Cup, and they seem to have okay goaltending.
But that's always the way it is. The President's Cup team last year wasn't at San Jose, and they were bumped out in the first. Was the first or the second?
Yeah, it does seem like a bit of a curse.
Yeah,
but yeah, I would have lost because I would have picked a few guys from Washington. I would have lost in a major way. My prediction for this next round, I think Montreal in seven. And San Jose in six.
Okay.
So I think Montreal, San Jose.
Those are solid.
And then I don't know how that will play out.
I don't know. I'm kind of torn because I'd love to see a Canadian team in the final. And I know, I think if Montreal gets to the finals, we've seen this before. We've seen a young, hungry team with a couple of stars on it ride a very hot goalie right to the top in 86, 93. It could happen again.
Yeah,
that's
well. A lot of people are
comparing. Those are the words of my buddy John Whaley.
Well, a lot of comparisons to the '93 Montreal team that played to Los Angeles and won. It's, they're saying it's, you know, a lot of the things are similar. Hot goalie, young stud,
a lot of
just people
games.
Stepping up and yeah. But either way, it's exciting to watch. It's good hockey. But now, as a Leafs fan. You know, the only thing you really get excited about now is like, okay, free agency and a little bit the draft because you kind of hope that Brian Burke will be able to turn something into some draft picks because we don't have any firsts, and I don't think we have any second in this,
this
year's draft.
No, no first, so no second.
That's not good.
Do you really think, though, like, look at a team like Detroit. They've built their team. Wasn't Datsuk like 217 or something like that? All these guys were...
Zetterberg. I think a lot of their guys have been...
It was just good scouting. It wasn't first-round draft picks.
No.
You know, are guys like Taylor Hall maybe a little overblown?
Well, you look at John Tavares this year, and I don't think he tore it up by any means.
Was he number three or four in the scoring race?
I can't remember.
Is that him? I don't know. Again, not good with names.
Yeah, Stamkos was...
Stamkos is who I'm thinking of.
Yeah.
No, you're right. Stamkos was the guy. And
Tavares. Yeah, I mean, he played okay, but it wasn't you know, crazy outstanding.
No, and they didn't even make the playoffs. Yeah. So what's to say that Taylor Hall or the other guy...
Tyler Seguin.
That's it. Would help.
Who I think Seguin might go first.
Like, you think so, huh?
He just... I don't know.
He's a bigger dude, isn't he?
I think he plays a more physical, you know, powerful game than Hall. But Hall's... I think more, you know, with the hands and stuff, he's more talented. But
yeah,
who knows? We will see. But I think they're pretty even. So I imagine just whatever the team needs that's drawing first. So what Boston will need? I'm trying to think of Boston. Do they need a finesse guy? They could use a guy who has more finesse than.
Yeah,
they have lots of grit already. But we'll see. And who's picking second this year? I can't even recall. Is it the
no, Boston isn't picking.
Boston's second.
Boston's second, and it's
first?
Edmonton first.
Oh, Edmonton, yeah. So
Edmonton fall for Hall, remember?
Yeah,
that's what they were calling it.
But I think they might go for Seguin. If we'll see, I guess. Who knows?
Yeah, they've been talking about that. Who would you like to see become a Leaf?
In free agency?
Yeah.
Well, there's Marlowe would be interesting to see as a Leaf. But
you think that his time is up, though? I mean,
as an older guy, like I don't know if he's worth a huge contract. But there's word that he doesn't get along with Ron Wilson very well, so that might not happen. I'm trying to think. Some gritty guys out there that I would like to see as well. I'm forgetting his name. Plays for. It's driving me crazy now.
You know the team?
It's a gritty guy. I think he sometimes plays forward, sometimes plays center.
Is his name Nitty Gritty?
Colby Armstrong.
Oh, him. I believe, right?
Yeah, I think he's free. No, he's playing in the playoffs. I believe he's a free agent. I was really hoping that the Leafs would, because Chicago's having a lot of cap trouble. I was hoping,
yeah, and Bufflin could be up for grabs.
Well, that's, I think, going before the playoffs.
Yeah.
I think a team could have got him to take off some cap space.
But sure, but he's been so valuable.
That now they'll probably ship out someone else because he's like been the star of their
playoffs. Do you think it's racist that they're using a black guy's butt to score goals?
No.
I mean, who are it's like you know, sitting around the locker room and the coach is like, I need a guy who's got a big booty to put in the face of the goalie. Who are we going to get? And then everyone kind of looks at the black guy. And he's like, who, me?
That's the one thing I don't understand is it seems like every team has a guy who stands in front of the net. You know, Holmstrom, in the old days, Cicerelli, and to a certain degree, Anderchuk. It seems like a surefire way of getting some goals is to find a big guy who can stay in front of the goalie between the goalie and the shooter. But
Esposito was the king of the garbage goal, and he scored a lot of them.
And you see this excessive, and you think some teams would try and emulate it, but it seems like on some teams there's a reluctance of getting a guy who will go and just, you know, take the abuse and stand in front of the net.
Well, nobody wants to do that. Everyone wants to do the star. Who are they going to get in there, a centerman? They're going to waste a centerman in that position?
You can get a big winger in there. Look at Holmstrom. He's a big guy.
Yeah.
I think like even a power forward type guy.
Sure, I love that. I think it's great.
Well, that's what I play, because I'm a big dude and I don't have like a lot of finesse skills. I just get in front and block things off. Look at that, we're out of time.
Really?
That's it.
Wow.
Well, thanks for stopping by.
Let's recap here. What did we talk about? We talked about a box.
You didn't have anything TV shows,
any background on me. Didn't even get a cop of coffee.
Yeah.
Really talked about nothing. It's kind of like an episode of Mad Men. I bought a dress and you looked mysterious.
There you go.
That was it.
Have a good week.